Hey, everybody, this is Corey Saltz, Drew Floyd, and this is going to be the Marry Me Junkies podcast. Today, we're talking about canon, you know, the main stuff. Is it really important? Is it okay when it gets turned around or changed a little bit? I know Demon, and I definitely know Comic Boss, definitely have their opinions on it. We're going to be talking about that today and more on the Marry Me Junkies podcast.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's your podcast, your favorite podcaster here. Let me straighten up my camera so I can see my whole beautiful face.
Gotta keep the beard in there.
You know. Yeah, we're talking about canon, man. A lot of things is happening in the nerd space. A lot of iterations of the same stories. And people upset because they're not pulling from the from the stories that we all know and love, but do it matter?
Speaking of canons, we also have to introduce our favorite one, Demon Engine. Okay.
Today, he's only bringing the day just for y'all.
Pause.
No pause. Never pause.
Always pause. What's up, Demon?
What's up?
But today we're going to be chatting about canon. How important is it, you know? And it's an interesting question because we have just a lot of media content coming out of universes that we already know, and there's a lot of changes that happen.
Some of the most notable ones for me would be comic books, because a lot of these movies are pulling from comic books, or well, they're supposed to anyway. We clearly see that they don't, i.e. Madam Web. they just hire a producer, say, hey, this is what we're doing. That dude said, hold my beer and watch.
They also bought back the writers for Morbius.
And it's horrible.
But of course, there's also plenty of times where canon is ignored for a bit and adjusted, and they tell a different story,
right?
And it works out and it's benefit. We're going to be discussing that today as well. And it happens in video games as well as anime and manga. So it's going to be an interesting talk today.
And when we're adapting, should we take the canon one for one? Right.
Now, for those of y'all who don't understand, canon is like a list of sacred books or rules that are genuine to a mythos.
Sacred and ancient texts.
So do with that as you will. And there's a lot of interesting canon that a lot of people ignore. One of the first, especially in comic books, Batman has killed people.
Batman. Let's start with Batman.
Yeah. Everyone keeps talking about this Batman doesn't kill rule like it's canon. Guess what? It's not. In the original works, Batman was dropping bodies. As a matter of fact, he was supposed to kill the did he not kill the Joker the very first time they saw each other?
He killed the Joker. Yep. Yeah. And recently, like a few years back, he killed the Joker. Yeah, Batman not killing is definitely not canon. They changed it for other reasons, because he was actually killing the wealthy people of Gotham that wasn't supervillains. They're just regular, you know, Jeff Bezos types. And when that came out, the wealthy people of the United States and readers didn't like that. So they made a set of laws that Batman can can no longer kill.
Yeah, those laws stopped a lot of things comic book wise. It was a very, very, it was a very interesting time.
So it's a lot of you could say canon that's changed, like Batman not killing. Superman wasn't able to fly when he first came out. He was only able to leap a building in a single bound. Mm. So you know, what is canon, and does it matter anymore? Like Batman, Superman, your favorite superhero, your favorite comic book has like 50 different, 1,000 now different iterations, all written by different people. Marvel and DC, they'll bring on a writer for a 6-issue run of a certain character, but does that fit in that character's story as a whole?
There's been some great changes in canon and some awful changes in canon. What's a good great change in canon for you?
So I might get slapped with this, but one of the great changes in canon for me was Superman no longer being able to be affected by Kryptonite.
When did they change that?
Recently, about a year or two ago, he went on a spiritual journey, and he met a master. I'll pull it up for y'all to see in pocket. But he met a master, and the guy, like, he unlocked some we want to say chakras in Superman's spirit, where Superman realizes that the only thing that's affecting him is the things that he allowed. Kryptonite, magic. Yeah, so now Superman is basically impervious to everything.
Wait.
But in some of the recent comics, he's still affected by Kryptonite. So.
That's weird.
Right, you had one writer clean his slate. Now he's impervious to everything that mentally doesn't fuck him up. But now in the other comics, he still could be hurt by the colorful rocks.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. You know what? Here's a good change in DC that I did like. And this goes back to the 90s with a little show called Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
Where Paul Dini rewrote a story about Mr. Freeze. Because originally Mr. Freeze was a cold pun guy who was a jewel thief.
Yeah.
But then they made this compelling, sad story about Mr. Freeze trying to save his wife, got screwed over by his boss, and had his body mutated from this freezing concoction. And now he has to live inside this titanium robotic suit because he can't survive outside of a sub-zero temperature.
That's definitely a way better storyline than his original.
And it became so compelling that is now the canon for Mr. Freeze.
Right. So his original storyline doesn't even matter or exist anymore, because now this is now his canon storyline.
Yeah, and I think they also changed the original story for Clayface as well.
Mm.
I don't remember the original story for Clayface, but in the animated series, he was an actor who had a face deformity from a horrible accident, and Daggett from Daggett Pharmaceuticals made this concoction where he could not only heal his wounds, but he could reshape his face to look like other people, and Daggett was paying him to do these espionage missions. And one of them actually got Bruce Wayne caught up. But of course, Bruce Wayne didn't do it because he's Batman.
Right.
But eventually Daggett didn't like something that he said. He turned on him and made him swallow a whole bunch of that chemical, and he became...
And I like that one. We also from Marvel, like a cartoon version and a comic book version will have two different iterations, like the Extremis.
Oh God!
From Iron Man. Now, if you watch the motion picture comic book, is different from the movie.
Extremis and Iron Man 3 is very different than from the comic.
Way different from the comics. I explore y'all to get your hands on that version to see how Extremis work than what they did in the movie. The movie version, they wore it down so much.
Shit, another thing the movies did really weird, MODOK. Like, don't get me wrong, MODOK is kind of a joke. Kind of. But MODOK's also unbelievably vicious.
Yeah.
The
series, like the Clay Intermission series that they had on Hulu, he was a complete joke character.
Yeah, but that, of course, that whole series is a joke, though. That whole series is a joke, but it's beautifully done by Patton Oswalt. But you know what story you would swear was just completely made up, but it's exactly how it goes? Hitmonkey.
Right.
Love me some Hitmonkey.
The story of Hitmonkey sounds like something that is just something someone made up one day, but no, it's actually a thing in Marvel.
Right.
And so, you know what? I don't even want to ruin it for people. Check out Hitmonkey.
Yes.
You won't believe it.
Watch the animation on Hulu and read the comics, and Hitmonkey, like in the comics, he teams up with Deadpool.
As he should. It makes perfect sense.
Also, another Kena event that they changed, which if they did this in the movie, it'd have been so much better than the story that they gave Thanos. Why Thanos did what he did in the movie versus why Thanos did what he did in the comic.
I'm sorry.
If they had followed the comic version, it would have been way better than why he did what he did in the movies.
I'm going to disagree.
Really?
I know. Look, Thanos did what he did in the movies. He did what he did in the movies because he realized that there's a population limit to the universe and wanted to course correct that.
So that's the bullshit.
The bullshit reason is what he did when he did it in the fucking comics, all the fucking game mistress Death's affection sipping over a fucking, first of all, he's sipping over a bone pussy. Second of all, he's sipping over a bone pussy that don't even want him because she's with Deadpool, which leads me to the third fucking thing. Deadpool is only fucking relevant because Thanos is a goddamn simp.
I think that would have been a better storyline when you find out why he did what he did. It was all to gain favor from a goddess.
No, I'm sorry. It's not. It's not a good look. There's some pretty bad looks in the MCU.
Also, you can get some bonuses.
Half the universe, it's not a good look.
Right?
Versus Sage.
Pussy destroys enough on this planet as is.
And then he wanted to clean half the universe for the woman he loved. How would that not have been better than him losing his power to wipe out half the universe instead of doubling the resources, so everybody can have an abundance?
That's where the madness of the Mad Titan comes in. Because it's like, would it be easier to double everything? It's one of those things where it's just like, shut up.
Right.
Take it half.
Right. Y'all let me know in the comments which iteration which Canton event would have been better? The Mad Titan cleaving half the universe to appease Mishra's death, or him cleaving half the universe so everybody else can have a little bit more resources. Let me know.
Cleaving half the universe to not get a crumb of coochie.
He does get Mishra's death. He get Mishra's death before Thanos come in the picture. Before Deadpool come in the picture. Deadpool then comes in the picture and takes
him. He never got Mishra's death. She played him for a simp since childhood. She been tugging on his leash since childhood. He ain't never get her. He killed half the universe so he can get a crumb of coochie. And she said, this nigga that looks like a rotten avocado and a pair of testicles, I like more.
Wait, how he say in the movie, you look like an avocado that had sex with a uglier avocado and it wasn't consensual.
Shout out to Deadpool 3, y'all. I hope he reaches that.
Yo, Demon, you sound like Fresher Foot for a second.
Don't you dare. Don't you fucking ever. I'll end this shit right now.
When it came to calling him a simp, that's where it sounded like Fresher Foot.
That's what he is. Who killed half the universe and still don't even get the goddamn pussy he was trying to impress.
Red pill. Anyway. Now,
for every time I see Thanos, now that's going to be the first thought that pops into my head. Beta!
Just going to yell, Beta! Beta!
And then only comic book thing up in the wire.
That's horrible.
Yo, next time we at a con, y'all do that.
Beta.
Next time we at a con, if we see a Thanos cosplay, y'all yell beta at him.
Beta.
But seriously, there's always some creative liberties that are taken in handling these properties. Some for the best, some for the worst. One of the worst for me goes back to, I want to say, 2013, when they did a reboot of RoboCop.
Mm.
Now, RoboCop, it's a crazy trilogy of movies. Definitely a science fiction satire action. And I like the canon. The canon of it is really solid. So when they said this remake was happening, I was just like, all right. And the first thing they did to piss me off was before the movie came out, it was just like RoboCop PG-13. I was like, this is going to be trash because right. The whole world of RoboCop is a very ultra violent. And I'm like, even RoboCop's creation is ultra violent, but now it's right. been dulled down to a car bomb.
And like, why? Right. Like the canon of RoboCop was amazing. That's one of the best movies ever. The first one was one of the best movies ever. Like, and how he becomes to be RoboCop is
not only that, but just the world of RoboCop. It was a very satirical look into the future. Like, there would be commercials. Like, there was a commercial for something called the Heart Center, where it was like they had replacement artificial hearts and like sport models from Yamaha. I'm like, yo, that's insane. But that's exactly how that commercial would go.
And it's almost close to what's going on right now. Like we have artificial hearts, and I promise you, Sony, Yamaha, Microsoft, Amazon now, who's getting into the healthcare field, I promise you they're gonna have branded like hearts or livers or lungs, you know what I mean?
But back to it, they watered the violence down They took away the satire, and the movie was more about politics and weird corporate stuff. And it bombed. The movie bombed. It was horrible. It's cool to have on in the background, but when you start looking at it, it's kind of stupid. And
it's cool to have it on the background. Don't watch it. Cut it on. Yeah. Don't watch it.
Exactly. And like RoboCop wins through the power of love, which is just so, it's too corny.
What is that, fucking anime?
Yeah. My point exactly. It just became too corny. And it when you go too far off, that's when you start losing people.
Right.
You can experiment with the canon of things to a certain extent.
I agree.
It's like you could play around with it, but don't go too crazy.
The sacred text is there for a reason. If you're making something from something, then you could, and hopefully do pull from that at least. Now, I mean, because we just seen now that Marvel hired a bunch of producers who have never read the stuff that they're making, even up until the point when they're making it.
And this isn't speculation. There's an actual video out there of producers and writers who've worked on Marvel films, all admitting that they did not look at any of the original material whatsoever. And the failing projects that they were behind shows.
Yes. Yeah, but you know who wasn't on that list? Ryan Coogler.
Right.
And his show.
And side note, while we're here, The Marvels was actually a solid movie.
What would you give it out of 10?
7.5. 7.5, maybe even an 8. Like, it's because that's the thing. It doesn't really do anything new per se. It also doesn't do anything wrong.
Right.
It's just it's mid. It's fine.
Right.
But the way people were bashing it, and for the way they're telling their Captain Marvel story, which is definitely not the way the canon is, it's fine. Definitely the way like the way they changed the canon for Wanda and Vision. Definitely different.
They definitely changed that up a lot. But it was a good change.
But it worked.
Right, it worked.
It worked out so well that even Agatha has a spinoff show.
Right.
There was enough care in the execution. And if you looked at WandaVision's show, these folks clearly read the Wanda and Vision comics. It's like, it's painfully clear they read them. Did they follow anything in them? No. But you can tell that they were like, okay, we could take that, but we can do this.
Right. Right. And some things had to be changed for television and film. Some things you can't take one for one. From the sacred text to film, it just won't translate well, but it shows that you took the time and care enough to at least like make it look as good as possible.
And which also reminds me, another thing that on the other side of that canon changing, something that never sat right with me. When they tried to make Mystique an X-Men.
Yes.
That never... I was just like, huh?
Yes.
I was like, no. Weird. Not even. Stop. Like, it was just...
And we get it. Mystique became a beloved character. So you want to give her more on-screen time. Which is why they did it, but it doesn't.
You don't have to make her a fucking hero,
right? And we get and Mystique and Charles being friends—that also was horrible. It was a horrible idea from the beginning.
Yeah, it was so weird.
But again, I get why they changed it, because they got what's her name to play Mystique, and she had to have on screen time as much as possible.
She could have been an overlying overall antagonist for the films.
Yeah.
Or somewhere in the middle ground, because she would just be out there in the world freeing mutants from oppression.
Right.
Like when she made sure those mutants didn't get taken in Vietnam, that was a Mystique move.
Yes.
That was a very Mystique move. It was on brand. But speaking then when of, I see her suiting up with the X-Men, I'm like, oh, I know where you about to go, so go.
Yeah, oh, no.
I know where you go.
I'm not going there, but I'm about to speak on the house. The Fall of the House of X, I think that's what I'm probably trying to trick a name up. It's a new comic out right now. It is amazing. Cyclops is on trial for being a mutant. They are doing some things to Krakoa right now. That's what I was going. You know, free mutant kind. That comic is amazing right now. I should get into it. That's it.
Okay. I thought you were going to talk about Mystique's
I love her.
Yeah, just the whole thing with Nightcrawler and how that worked out.
Yo, that is...
That was definitely... It's different.
So that's a canon that I don't think they should have changed, right? Because in the comic, Nightcrawler is Mystique's and I think Magneto's child. Like in the real early edition, but now Mystique is now Nightcrawler's mother and father.
Yeah, which is that's kind of weird to me because I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know, you know how that. I don't remember how that came to be, but yeah, Mystique is now his mother and father.
I guess.
I'd rather the canon that he's. Man, he was child, and no, yeah, I don't know. I forgot in the time while how it came to me, but yeah.
So when it comes, all right, you know who canon's really important to.
Bro's canon. They got rid of those, you know, those peaches that she had for the new upcoming series. Like, why would you do that? That's just wrong. That picture of her and Apocalypse, that picture for what going down in Infamy. Why would you change that? Give Bro back her peaches.
Listen, I get why it was like that back then. I do. It definitely was a different time, especially with trying to keep viewers. So
viewers, that show is made for children. For viewers,
Sure. Mind you, this is the 90s where they also did a Marvel swimsuit magazine. So yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
That was not for us.
It was definitely a different time, and we don't need to hyper-sexualize the characters like that. And I, because that,
I don't agree. Careful, change the canon back. She's Southern. She's from down south. Those women down there have peaches. They thick. Three C's.
With the three C's, though?
Three C's.
Okay. All right. Here's a good one, because what do you do when you run out of canon? Because when you originally pitched this to me, I was like, okay, And in my head, I was like, what do you do when you run out of cannon? Because remember Game of Thrones?
Yes.
And of course, they ran out of book material. What, by what season?
I think it was 5 seasons. So season 3 or 4 was when George R. R. Martin stepped away.
Yeah, but they still stuck to they. We still got the Red Wedding, which was in the book. So, and that was like season 5.
Oh right.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it was around 6 or 7 when they. When they literally had no more material to go from.
Yeah.
And the course was shaky, very shaky. But then that shit went to hell by the last season. I didn't like it at all.
They ruined it for me. They ruined it for me. And now we'll never know what actually happened because George R. R. Martin is not finishing the books. Because of that, or so he said. But we'll never know how the story actually ends.
I just knew that when he said Bran should be king, I was like, okay, clearly you need to pass the crack pipe.
Like, they had to be sitting around the writer's room because they had to create them last 2 seasons. And those choices that they made was horrible. And the 2 producers they had are good producers. They're now over at Star Wars, doing 10 of Star Wars now. So they may not be good producers.
Mm. Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know about that shit. Because when they said, yeah, Bran should be king because he has the better story, I was like, no, he doesn't. Yeah. I was like, if you wanted to elect king off of who had the better story, it would be between Jon Snow and Tyrion Lannister.
Right. Right.
Cool. And that's
the king between those two.
Yeah, because Tyrion Lannister definitely has one of the best stories.
Yeah, Jon Snow and Tyrion Lannister, like Ron. Who in the writer's room okayed that? Like, I know somebody in the writer's room wanted to fight for either Jon Snow or Tyrion Lannister, and I wish whoever you was, I wish you would have fought harder, because that ending would have been better if Tyrion would have sat on the Iron Throne. If Daenerys didn't go cuckoo and made Jon kill her, and she sat on the Iron Throne, which was seeing how it was going until the last season when they made her crazy.
Now here's the funny thing, and a lot of folks always disagree with me with this. I was like, Daenerys' sanity always was on this because she herself had been through a lot.
Yes, I agree.
When Varys stared her down and told her why he was around from king to king, he's like, listen, I'll ride with a king until they start doing some wild shit. The second they start that wild shit, I'm trying to figure out the next move.
Right.
And as Daenerys started talking some more wild shit, it was just like, oh, here we go. And then John is like, no, we can't be together. We're family. It was just like, this bitch. I
don't think she had to descend into darkness. Like, they didn't set her up that way. She wasn't on no Mad King shit.
That's the thing. She was trying so hard not to be the Mad King. She became the Mad King.
But she didn't have to. That was that bullshit writing. She was good until the last season.
It's one of those things where you're trying so hard to not be the thing you hate that you end up walking right into it. It was one because everyone was like, yeah, she saved King's Landing. I'm like, King's Landing is about to fry.
Right.
You don't know what you're talking about. When she sit on that dragon for those dead 2 minutes, you just hear the bell toll. I was like, no, it's not going down. Jacaris. I was like, and here we go. I'm like, listen, I know villains when I see them. And I know I see villains at their turning point. I see it. It's like that split second in Kill Bill Volume 2 where he almost just walked away from the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just going to walk away. Yeah. But the second she introduced that nigga as her father, he was like...
I don't think Daenerys had to go bad. I didn't like Jon Snow walking away.
That pissed I was like, nigga, you going to go through all of this just to go back to the fucking wall?
All of this just to go back.
I was like, you, like, them bitches was not lying. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Right. All of it was. That whole last season just took a nosedive for me. But because they had no more sacred text to pull from.
You know who else? Yo, all right. here's a great, interesting piece of canon. Shakespeare's works are so canon that they've been redone so many times in so many creative ways.
Yeah, yeah. Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio, to me, was one of
the Blickies.
All-time favorite movies.
With the Blickies.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorite movies.
One of my favorite reworks of Shakespeare is actually a TV show.
What's that, though?
Sons of Anarchy.
That's a Shakespeare?
Sons of Anarchy is Hamlet.
Holy shit. I never knew that.
The show starts out introducing a king, the president of the club, and his prince, who's also his stepson.
Right.
Throughout the first season, it is uncovered letters from his original father, stating that he knew something was up and he believed that his vice president, who's now the president, was plotting to kill him along with his if you could take the core members of the cast and literally put them in spots from the book.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And that's done in such a way. And of course, within itself, because it stretches like 7 seasons, they tell a lot of stories with the characters. But they still play their part. Check out Sons of Anarchy.
I watched it from beginning to end. And then it started to make sense to me now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right, we're losing daylight, so let's move on to anime. And one of the biggest canons in anime is DBZ.
Broly. That's probably the best canon change.
I'm going to say Super Saiyan Level 4. That's one of the biggest canon arguments in anime.
Well, none of GT is canon. So.
None of GT is canon, but should it be? It's not canon. For y'all who don't know, Dragon Ball GT is not canon because Akira Toriyama walked away by then.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else took over for GT, and it's not Akira Toriyama works, but it's still amazing. We got Pan, Gohan's daughter. We went back to Kid Goku.
Which is, I guess.
We got Super Saiyan Level 4 with the red monkey hair, but he stayed in his human form.
It's weird. It's not canon. The whole baby saga was just a little too weird for me anyway. I say Broly because when they Toriyama changed Broly's backstory with this new iteration, because I think the main reason he did it is because Team Four Star, and when they did their version of the Broly movie, and they cover Broly's origin back then, it really is stupid.
Yes.
It's just, it's, and it was just like, and I remember because their Vegeta was like, he's so cool, but that's so stupid, but he's so cool. So they had to do something to change Broly's canon because that shit was just dumb. I was like, you're 8 different types of steroid pissed off shit.
Right.
Because he was crying.
Right.
When y'all were babies.
And he was raised to hate somebody that he never knew. At the moment he seen Goku. Wasn't even Vegeta. Well, it should have been Vegeta, but Vegeta was the prince of the planet, and Goku was just another soldier that they sent out. So he should not have hated Goku in the fucking slightest. He shouldn't have even known who he was. He should have hated Vegeta, but that's the part of the dumb canon that they made for Broly's original story.
So the fact that Toriyama he changed, I really think Team Four Star had a lot to do with that because Toriyama admits that he's a fan of Team Four Star. So as a matter of fact, wait, they also made up a story behind Android 16?
Yeah, I think so.
And it made his existence in the story make so much more sense.
Right.
And I was just like, wait, why does this fits too good? I'm like, damn. And I like the way they nudged it and they were like, are you making stuff up? Well, it looks like you're making stuff up.
And now those are instances where the canon of a story didn't make as much sense as the change to it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, too Broly. Like, the reason he was how he was because he hated Goku so much that they had to take him off planet. Like, that didn't make sense. You know what I mean?
It's wild.
This version that Toriyama made is so much better. DBZ is like a huge canon argument in the anime community.
It's always an argument. Dragon Ball Z is just an argument in the community.
Yeah, that's one of the toxic communities.
Because like Goku's not even the best fighter in his universe, but you really can't tell people that.
Right, because for those who don't know, he has never beat Vegeta in a one-on-one.
Shit, he can't even, like, as a matter of fact, as of recent, you know who whooped his ass and didn't even break a sweat while Goku was in Ultra Instinct?
Yeah.
Shit. I mean, Whis put Barrows to sleep. Whis put Barrows to sleep in one hit.
Yeah, but you can count that up to Whis's, you want to say a power level, but his role in the DBZ is more like of a guidance and teacher mentor.
Kind of like Mr. Popo.
Yeah, and Goku does not know what the fuck he is doing while he in Ultra Instinct mode.
So
by the time it's all said and done, we see Goku is going to become an angel. And Vegeta's going to become Barris. That's how some people is seeing how they're going to set it up. I'm not too sure about that myself.
I don't know about that shit.
Yeah, Vegeta supposed to become the new god of destruction. Yeah, like you see it all the time in anime. One time you see a character, origin story is this, next time it is this, and this. The same way they do in American cartoon and cinema.
Definitely do. But listen, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of canon stuff we skipped over today. And I'm pretty sure you guys are going to not let us forget about it. So make sure you guys leave it in the comment section, okay?
Yeah, I read and respond to all comments. So y'all leave it in there. If y'all want to debate and argue with me, let me know. If not, I'll pass a rock to Corey. Y'all could have definitely argued with him.
Fight your allergies. Don't fight me. We want to thank you guys for listening in to the Marry Me Junkies podcast today. We definitely enjoyed your time. We want to thank you folks who are out there listening to us while you're on the treadmill or in your car or whatever have you. And for you folks out here on the YouTube, we want to thank you guys very much. We hope you guys are subscribed to us because we really appreciate everything you put into us. We're going to be trying to give it back to you tenfold, but we need those subscribers numbers to go up. So we need you. So be sure to subscribe, like, and of course, leave a comment.
I'll add this on all social media platforms, where everywhere you are. You know, we have a huge Facebook community. Please join American Media's Facebook community. We're in there every day, busting it up with our G's. You could definitely, if you're on Instagram, join our sub community on Instagram, the Merrimay Trap House. And we're definitely in there, you know. So, you know, come hang out with us whenever.
We'll be seeing you guys next time. This has been the Merrimay Junkies podcast. Please be well. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Love you, motherfuckers. Peace.